Father, we bless you and thank you for today. We pray now that everything that we do and everything that we say will be pleasing in your sight. We bless you for all that you have used us to do thus far, and we pray that you would use us in even a greater way as we prepare to present your word. Hide me behind the cross, forgive me of my sins, and let nothing that I have thought, done, or said hinder your word from going forth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever gotten or bought something brand new? Maybe a car, a phone, maybe some new clothes, new house. There's something exciting about newness. When you get something new, that new car smell is so powerful. They've even created air fresheners and scents so you could pretend like you in something new. Because when you get something new, life, at least you feel like it's supposed to change. I remember when we got a new car, our family, and we were kids in the old car, you know, man, we can eat in the car, sleep in the car, drink in the car. It didn't matter what we did in the old car. When we got the new car, man, my mama was so funny about that new car. We couldn't even ride in the new car. It was like, don't bring no food in here. No. Stand outside and eat, right? Now, that lasted just a little while. It didn't last that long. But that new car, man, just changed the rules. And when people get a new car, the question is, how long do they keep treating it like it's brand new? Right? You get a new phone, but it's broken pretty quickly if you are rough with your phones. You buy new clothes and you're determined, man, when you get them new clothes, you got that special place in the closet and you hang up your clothes every time and they are perfectly situated until you get used to having them, and then you start laying them around just like the old clothes. Here's what's interesting. The Apostle Paul today reminds us of a foundational truth. That when we accept Christ as our Savior, we are to be and we become new creatures in Christ. Here's the challenge. Once you become a new creature, do you keep living like you're new, or do you go back to your old habits and your old ways? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, the ESV translation says. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Once you are in Christ, you don't receive a tune-up. You receive transformation. You don't just get patched up. You get made new. When you become a new creation in Jesus, you have the opportunity and expectation to walk in your newness. And that newness includes walking with a new attitude and with new actions, with new beliefs and new behaviors, with new convictions and new conduct, with a new position and new practices. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you about how to live your new life in G. How to live your new life in G. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching wherever you are in the world, you can go to our website and find an outline there, or you can download our app and there is a fill-in-the-blank version of the outline on the app. Our foundational text today is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And I want to share with you three things coming out of this text. See, the challenge for you and the challenge for me is once you have accepted Christ, how do you continue to live that new life in Christ? How do you continue to live beyond the newness or when the newness has worn off? See, there are many of you when you accepted Christ and you were new to Christ and you was this new creation in Christ. You was this babe in Christ. Man, you were all on it. I mean, you were in church. You were with your Bible. You were sharing your faith. But that newness has worn off. Now you don't even know where your Bible is. Now you don't pray like you used to. You don't come to worship like you used to. You don't do the things you used to do. You started going to some of the places you used to go in your BC days. You've become lax in your walk with God. And I want to encourage you to renew your commitment to be that new creature, that new creation that God has created. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Number one, you need to realize you can become a new person in Jesus Christ, no matter who or what you've been in your past. You can become a new person in Jesus Christ, no matter who or what you've been in your past. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is one of the greatest passages of Scripture describing the reality of new possibilities and new potential for every person who is in the world. He wants all of us to know, no matter what your past has been, no matter what you have done, no matter what you have said, you have the opportunity to be made new, to experience regeneration and become a new creature in Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean for a person to become a new creation? That word creation, as it's used in 2 Corinthians 5:17, refers to the creative act of God. The blessing of salvation is when God chooses to do something new in your life and you accept that God wants to do something new in your life. This creative act, this making of a new man, a new woman, is what God gives you an opportunity to experience. Church is more than just coming to a place. It's more than just showing up on Sunday. It's more than just clapping when the choir is singing and saying amen when the pastor is preaching. God says, no, I'm trying to do something new in you. And too many of us spend so much time trying to find satisfaction from the outside in that we have missed. God has given us the ultimate satisfaction when we were saved from the inside out. From the inside out is where you should find your validation, where you should find your encouragement, where you should find your strength, because that's where God does his greatest work. Look at A. You need to realize being a new creation gives you a new position in heaven. God says you already, once you have accepted him as your Savior, your place in glory is secure. You have security. You know where you're going to be. It's like showing up for a flight or showing up on a cruise on a ship. When your space is reserved and it's been paid, you don't have to be frantic about whether or not they have room for you because your place, your seat was guaranteed once you paid for it. God has paid for your seat by the blood of the Lamb in glory. And he says, because you are secure, you have a new position in heaven. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only is our citizenship, our position in heaven secure, look at B. B, you need to realize being a new creation means God expects you to live for Christ while you're on earth. Your position in glory is secure, but now what are you going to do while you're on earth? How are you going to live your life in a way that shows the new position that God has given to you, this new creation. You are expected to live in a way that pleases God in your day-to-day living. How are you doing in that area? I mean, you can't mess up your seat in heaven. It's already there. It's already secure. But it sure would be nice to live sanctified on earth. Sure would be nice. Matter of fact, I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, that the greatest problem in the world today is not the presence of sinners who sin. The greatest problem in the world today is the presence of saints who act like ain'ts. If believers really believe the Christian Bible, if they really believe the Old Testament and the New Testament, if they really believed and realized that it's more important to live like Jesus than to try to sound like Jesus, the world would be a much better place. So if I ask you, where's the evidence you're a new creation or you're a new creature in him, is there enough evidence to even get an indictment on you being a Christian? If somebody was presenting the case that you are a child of God, would it be no question that they would find you guilty? Or would they say, nah, case dismissed, insufficient evidence? Somebody ought to see some growth in you. Somebody ought to see some strengthening within you. When Brandon was growing and he was hitting those growth spurts, and the same thing happened with all of my children, people who had not seen them in a while would say, oh my God, look at how they've grown. I do it with your children. You know, they walk out the sanctuary children and they come back in looking like grown people, man. And I'm like, God, dog, what happened? What you been feeding them? Right? There ought to be some signs of your growth spiritually in terms of who you're becoming as a person who loves God. Look at Romans 8, 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has not done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh. Here it is, verse 4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. He says, you and I are no longer to walk after the flesh, seeking to gratify the feelings and the longings and the lusts of the flesh, but we are to walk according to the Spirit. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 12. Let's read it together. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Self-controlled. Upright and godly lives. God says you must learn how to discipline yourself. I told you this before, but I'm going to say it again because it fits. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. And just because you can afford to do it, Paul said all things may be lawful, but everything is not expedient. There's some things I don't need to do because it doesn't benefit me in terms of my walk and my relationship with God. Look at Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Many of us have no problem telling somebody else no. We just got to learn how to tell ourselves no. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Instead, let the Spirit, renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Number two, you need to realize your opportunity to become a new creation in Jesus Christ is made possible by God alone. It's made possible by God alone. I had something to do with finding God. God was never lost. You wasn't looking for a lost God and then found him. God found you. And this message of reconciliation is one that brings broken people back to a whole and loving God. God made a way for us to get close to him, and he reconciled us to himself. Look at verse 21, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Let's go down to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Let's read it together. Hebrews 2, 17. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. I told you first, you need to realize you can become a new person in Jesus Christ no matter who or what you've been in your past. Number two, you need to realize your opportunity to become a new creation in Jesus Christ is made possible by God and God alone. Here's the third and final thing. Number three, you need to realize becoming a new creation in Jesus Christ means you are to live for him and help others do the same. You are to live for him and help others do the same. Verse 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, here it is, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Paul wants to remind you and remind me that once we are saved, we are not just saved to sit and celebrate what God has done in our life. He says he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Diakonia is the word in the original language, and it literally means to act as a servant. It is used and translated in some areas, the word deacon, right? To be a servant. And when you are a servant or a person who serves, you have to do it in very practical ways. He says, you have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Here's what God wants you to understand. Once you have been saved and you have experienced reconciliation with God, it's all good with God. He says, now recognize that you've been given that ministry of reconciliation to help somebody else know God. See, all of you, under the sound of my voice, have the potential and possibility to be ministers of reconciliation. Now, here's the mistake that we make. We think a call to ministry necessitates a gallop to the pulpit. And we don't understand that our ministry is many times not defined by what we do up here, but who we are out there. Right? That you have been given a ministry to help other people experience God, to know him in a real and personal way. All of us can help, and all of us can develop our willingness and ability to be used by God and help others to experience reconciliation with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the B part of verse 19 says, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation, verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Everybody say, through me. Have you ever really thought about the fact that God is trying to do something through you? Like, most of us are okay with God doing something for us. But it's kind of unnerving, a little scary when you think about the fact that God wants to do something through you. That word message is the word logos. It's the same word that was used to describe Jesus in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word, Logos, was God, was with God, and the Word, Logos, was God, right? It's literally the Word of God. It is the Word that we are to take to people, that Word of reconciliation, and we are to be ambassadors. All of us are given the title of ambassadors. Let me give you four things that every ambassador needs to understand. First of all, the ambassador belongs to the one who sent him or her. You represent the one who sent you. You don't represent yourself. Secondly, the ambassador is commissioned and is sent out only for the purpose for which the ambassador was sent. In other words, the ambassador doesn't have carte blanche to do whatever they want. They have a specific task and a specific thing that they are to do. The ambassador possesses authority and power from the one who sent the ambassador, and the ambassador is sent forth with the message of the sender. God reconciled us to himself, and when he reconciled us to himself, he made us responsible to carry the message of reconciliation to the world. Look at verse 20, if you would. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Here it is. God making his appeal through us. We implore you. Circle that word, implore. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That word implore means to beg, to petition, to beseech, to urge. I mean, it is a passionate, passionate request that we ask people and try to help them to be reconciled to God. Some of you may not understand the significance, for example, of the invitation at the end of the sermon. And some people may say, man, why you keep asking, Pastor? Why you keep, like, you begging people? I'm imploring people to come to know Jesus, to experience that ministry of reconciliation, so that it's right between them and God. Because the one person you don't want to be on the bad side of is God. Have I got a witness in here? So it is for Christ's sake that we what? We are ambassadors imploring people to come and know Jesus. It's for Christ's sake that we plead with people. We do it because God has done so much for us. And we know from experience what God has done for us, and we want somebody else to experience that same joy, that same love, that same grace. The only way the world can hear, don't miss this, is by you. He says, you are my ambassadors. I am sending you forth with the message of reconciliation. The message that you have received, and now the message that you are to give to other people. God has no hands except your hands. God has no mouth except your mouth. God has no feet except your feet. If somebody needs a hug from God, God has no arms except your arms. And God says, are you willing to live this new life in God? To his glory, to his honor, to his word, to his will, and to his way. Look at John 15, verse 16. The New Living Translation. Let's read it together. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. When you are in Christ, you are not who you used to be. And you should no longer live like you used to live. Jesus says the old you has been buried and the new you has been raised. But living your life is more than celebrating what God has done for you. You also need to be prepared to let God do something great through you. If anyone is in Christ, that's you. You are a new creation. And if the old has passed away, why do I keep grabbing hold of the old, trying to bring it into my present? So don't go back to your old ways when God has given you a new chance. Don't live in yesterday's shadows when God has given you an opportunity to walk into today's light. Don't settle for being patched up when God has made you brand new. Live for him and help others live for him. God says you are not to live like you used to be. You're not where you used to go. Don't talk like you used to talk. Don't walk like you used to walk, because the old has passed away. The new has come to stay. You've got a new mindset, a new mission, a new identity, and a new destiny. So I want to encourage you to live your life in G. Live your life grounded in his love. Live your life godly in your behavior. Live your life growing in his grace. Live your life giving as you have been blessed. Live your life using your gifts to bless others. Live your life going forward in his name, and live your life glorifying him to the utmost. Live by his goodness. Love by his grace, and live for his glory. And when the world looks at you, they won't see the old you, but they'll see a new you, becoming who God wants you to be. And you'll no longer walk in darkness. You'll walk in his marvelous light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you for this day. We pray now that your word has found fertile ground in the hearts and minds of your people. God, I pray somebody has heard today and would recognize that they have no obligation to walk in the old, because you have created all of us anew in the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us now to claim what you have created, so that we can walk in who you have made us to be. And for somebody, God, who may have been made new and is struggling with the old, I pray by your power, I pray by your word, God, that they would be assured that that new life is still waiting for them and they can walk in it right now. We bless you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Those of you can and will, please stand on your feet. The word of God tells us that when God's word has been spoken, it's not done in vain. Somebody needed to hear that word today. Somebody needed to understand what it means to have a new life in Christ. Somebody needed to know that wherever you are today, things can't change. They don't have to be the same. God sent his messenger today to implore you, to urge you to accept God's word, to accept Christ today. He sent his messenger today for somebody to hear that word. So somebody in here today needed to hear that you are a new creation once you accept Jesus Christ. So we take this time now to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ just as you are. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to get right thinking. You don't have to wait for somebody to be with you. You can come now. You have an opportunity now. You don't need to keep putting it off. You didn't show up today just because you didn't have anything else to do. Amen, amen, amen. One has come. The good news is that you don't have to be the first one. One has already come. So you can come just as you are. God's been waiting on you. The word has spoken to you very clearly. We give you an opportunity to accept Christ. We don't try to make it a picture that it's not. A commitment to Christ is a change in life. It's a new creation. That means some things got to change in your life. You've been trying to change them all by yourself. And you woke up this morning and discovered ain't nothing changed. It's still the same old soup. But a life in Christ, things do change. One thing for sure that changes, that when you leave this earth, you find yourself in glory. Today, if you have not accepted him, you're not able to say that today. But when you accept him, there is a change that takes place. So we want to give you an opportunity to not leave this place before you come to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we give you an opportunity. We spend a minute here to tell you over and over again and urge you and implore you and to remind you that God is waiting on you. He's waiting. If you want somebody to walk with you, tell them, hey, hold my hand, let me walk up there. But God is waiting on you, and we're waiting for you to make a decision today. Today is a good day. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You can do it right now. If you don't want to come, we have a code on the screen that you can scan on your handout. There's a scan there that you can use, and you can, either which way you want, come to a saving faith. But don't lose the opportunity today. God has spoken, and he's spoken with clarity. And so you have a chance to come just as you are, as Minister Taylor sings for us. Come just as you are.
We offer Christ to you. Oh, my brother, we offer Christ to you. Oh, my sister, he will give you brand new life abundantly. Oh, everybody, we offer Christ.
We offer Christ to you, oh my brother. We offer Christ to you, oh my sister.
Reach out our hands to our sister that has come. Lord, we come thanking you for the decision that has been made for our sister, Lord, and we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you bless her. We don't know where she is in life, Lord, but we know that she's in your hands, and we pray for your mighty hands to be with her and lift her up, Lord. Thank you for the decision she's made today, Lord, and we pray that all that we can do here at the Good Hope Church is to love on her and to show her the love of God. We thank you for her decision, and we ask special blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, show some love to our sister that has come. All right, you may be seated. All right, church family, it's time for the offering. Amen, amen. All right, our deacons have baskets if you want to give by check or by cash. They'll receive your blessing. If not, you can go online. We have several ways that you can give. It's there on the screen. We thank you, really, with a powerful thank you. Then thank you for being consistent in your giving, because it does make a difference for all that we are doing here on this corner. God uses this Good Hope family to bless many, many people. And it's because of your faithfulness and your generosity, and we thank God for it. And we just pray that you continue to do as God has blessed you. Amen. Raise your hand. They'll come and receive your blessing. All right. Brother Deacons, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for these gifts. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed your people and for them to return back to you. And we pray that all of these gifts, Lord, are done and used to give you glory and to edify your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, church, let us prepare our hearts now for communion. For this time to come to the Lord's table. If you don't have your communion, raise your hand and our deacons will make sure that you receive it. Just raise your hand and they'll make sure that you receive your